This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success. Welcome, Leah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic would be an understatement, as I always say. You get to travel the world like I do, but you also have what I call harmony. So many people are seeking balance. You're a mom. You started as a single mom, and you have faced amazing lessons in your life, which has incorporated the shortening of the distance of resistance in your life. But I look at you and Bucky, who I adore as well, and I say, wow, it's very rare I meet another couple that's in harmony like I feel my wife and I are most of the time. I'm sure you and Bucky are not in harmony all the time. That's what marriage is about.
Definitely not. Yes.
So before I bring Isabella on, I want to ask you and give some nuggets right off the bat. One, is my perception correct? Are you living in most of the time harmony? And if so, what's one piece of advice that we can give people that are seeking balance versus harmony?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, the energy of balance is so different than harmony. Harmony for me is more of an energy of peace. It's more of an energy of understanding that it's not always going to be this perfect balance thing, and everything is going to take something from you. But understanding that being in harmony is also being in harmony with who you are in the world and the different roles that you play. I'm a wife, I'm a CEO, I'm a speaker, I'm a mom of three. You know, I have a lot of different roles that I play, but how can you start to become really intentional about the pieces of your life that matter and the roles that matter to you? And I think really, you know, making sure that you're allocating your time and intention. Sometimes it's not about spending the whole day together, but rather being really intentional for that hour with the person that you love and making it really impactful rather than just being there. So when I think about people being in harmony, is how can you really be more intentional in your life? How can you bring more peace within yourself and bring that peace into, you know, the space with others?
There's a reason I asked her to be here, and now everybody knows I've revealed the wisdom and the faith that I have as well. And we have some really incredible friends coming on that we want to bring the best out of. And our first one is Isabella Masucci. She is under and CEO of the Masucci Method. Welcome, Isabella.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh my goodness. I think we have brought the best together between you and Leah, and I love the harmony of this morning. But Isabella, you built your own methodology, and you have helped so many writers, and being a writer yourself. And I was curious, in your position today, I believe AI is a servant. It is here to make humans more human, more powerful. If I was a ghostwriter, a writer, an author, which I'm part and parcel of pieces of that, I have just been super excited about AI, where a lot of people that sit in the position that you sit in have intrepidation, see obstacles and voids and shortages in a capability that I think allows us to do more. How do you look at technology and how it enhances or detracts from your profession?
Yeah, totally. I really like AI as a tool to move faster, right? I use it for all my recordings. I use it to take notes. I use it to do research. I use it to stay organized. I love Otter AI. I love Grammarly. Like, these are tools that are so core to my business. And I started this really before AI was so popular and so easily accessible. And the first book that I did without AI took about 2 years really to do all of the work and write it and do all of the research. And with AI, I'm writing books in around 7 months.
That's awesome. Like
really fun. But yeah. I don't use it to write. Actually, because I'm better than it. So I find it like limiting in that way.
Yeah.
A great point.
Yeah, because I find it sort of repetitive. And I'm actually coaching a person right now whose second language is English. And so he's really using AI a little too heavily. And so his message isn't getting across in the right way because he's just not conveying the stories and the emotions that he needs to convey to convert readers into buyers. And it's sort of, I'm helping him learn how to storytell in a human way while also using AI.
That's awesome. I really love what you're doing. One of the things that really captures my attention, though, is that there's people like David in the world. We're streaming on so many different platforms right now. He's really maximizing his efforts to be as impactful as he can to as many people as he can for the time that he's dedicated here. What I loved about you, Isabella, is that you're taking podcasts and you're turning them into books, which is really powerful. I would love to hear from you. What has been the biggest difference that you've seen with taking a podcast and putting it into a book while extracting, all the wisdom from all of, the people that have come on the podcast versus just solely writing a book on your own? And what has been the main differences that you've seen for people in that space?
Yeah, I mean, what's so fascinating about the podcast space is that there's so much information in the podcast and there's so much gold there, but it gets lost, right? Because podcasts are about producing at a speed and it's about, creating awareness about your brand and just like getting your name out there, right? But what I find about podcasts is that the speakers actually don't even know the value of their podcast. And they need me to go in and really look for all of the things that are so beautiful and so necessary for their audience to know. And so oftentimes when I'm transforming a podcast into a book, I'm actually going in and acting kind of like an archaeologist. I'm like, oh, do you remember when you said this? Oh, do you remember when you said this? Oh, like, how is that tying in to what you're trying to do now? Right? Whereas a memoir, which I've also done, is very much about just storytelling, right? And how do we tell the stories and look at old photos and sort of bring the past into the present? Whereas a podcast is much more about creating a puzzle piece of your value.
So smart. Now, one of the things that Lee and I discuss ad nauseam is the idea of that with any digital, and your methodology leverages the digital side of things, whether it be podcasts, et cetera. You leverage it as a servant to, as I said, make humans more human. But in the end, it's about your frequency. And we can dissipate that frequency, like the example that you gave, where someone has English as a second language and is too heavily relying on the technology or the digital aspects, and it dissipates the spectrum in which you reach, the strength of the signal, as well as the clarity of the message. How do you help people find that frequency, their essence? Because it sounds like when you're answering questions, you're always coming back to, hey, what are you actually trying to communicate? Not just verbally with the words, but actually in a frequency or a vibration.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way that I do that is my art, right? Which is my words. And so in my writing, I am very story driven. I want to know what transformations have you experienced in your life? What arcs have you gone through, right? And what have you learned in those arcs, right? And I want it to be a very spiritual experience reading a book, right? Because when you read a book, it's really about transforming your space because I'm taking you somewhere else. And so that needs to be a really rich texture, dialogue, humor experience that isn't all about the exchange of knowledge. And that's where AI stops and that's where I start.
It's an amazing, an amplifier, a transcoder, a transformationalist, Isabella Masucci, with her own methodology. Turn your podcast into a book. Turn your ideas and your stories into an impactful message that can help empower others to empower others. Isabella, thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you soon. TheMasucciMethod.com. Check her out. We appreciate you so much for taking your time.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye. I love it. Everything's going to come back to frequency and technology. Yeah. And it's time for Ryan Gree is here for us. And maybe I should get some earphones. It kind of look cool. My problem is every time I put earphones in with a mic, I start singing and I have the worst singing voice in the world. And I want to sing, "This is ground control to Major Tom." All right, enough of that, Ryan. I'm an old man trying to have fun in the morning. 25 years I've been doing this. When I started, I was a young man. Now it's just plain silly, but I have to bring on geniuses like Leah Notarianni to help me. You have some fun stuff going on as co-founder of PDW. And one of the things that I noticed is you're bringing in a collaboration of engineers, designers, thinkers, and veterans. For me, veterans are very important because of the discipline and commitment to consistent behavior and the lack of support that we're giving them. There's so many different areas where we're not utilizing the people who have a very strong dedication to making the world a better place, especially our country. So for me at PDW, why did you include, I mean, it's obvious engineers, designers, and thinkers. If I was in your business, I would collaborate with engineers, designers, and thinkers. But why did you specifically recruit veterans as well?
Yeah. So nice to meet you, Dave, Leah. Thanks for having me on. I'm not going to sing for you guys. It's too early. Yeah. So, you know, our business is providing tactical robotics for the warfighter. And similar to what, you know, is on social media with the war in Ukraine, my job is to ensure that, you know, single people on the front line, single warfighters can pretty much, you know, deploy their own air support. So whether that's, you know, resupply or direct fires or, you know, signals and recon, you know, what's happening is small tactical drones are, you know, being deployed by single units to deploy their own air support and deploy their own air missions. So, you know, the use of veterans in my company is, you know, a huge advantage. You know, the tactics, the way that you design products, you know, the way that you manage the government and find your way through procurement. You know, these are people who, you know, have, you know, much more experience than I do. I'm a civilian. And, you know, it's essential for our success. Our executive team, you know, has two tier one veterans. Tier one is like the top of special forces. And it's almost like getting someone in from Harvard, you know, the same level of discipline and creativity and problem solving, you know, that exists at Ivy Leagues exists at these, you know, top tier one soft units.
That's incredible what you're doing. What it sounds like for me too, is it's actually bringing, I don't know if this is true or not, so I'm curious from your perspective, it's really shortening the time on the ground as well to be able to support themselves and to be able to get resources and the things that they need and potentially saving people's lives through the advancement of technology. So I'm curious for you, what is the vision beyond what you're currently doing? Because I know you're doing this, but you're also doing drone racing. And I think overall, it seems like advancing technology in different spheres of influence. So I'm curious to see a little bit more about, you know, how you see that advancement with bringing on veterans and supporting on the ground.
Yeah, so the use of small tactical drones is relieving warfighters on the front line. In Ukraine, they're seeing a reduction of 30 to 40% less people on the front line. And they almost have like a new front line of robotics and sensors. So, you know, my job is to ensure that, you know, American warfighters have the best equipment and far ahead of, you know, what's available to our adversaries. I'm currently CEO of PDW. My background was a co-founder and CTO of Drone Racing League. We were a few years into developing, you know, that company when we met a few, a few warfighters and realized that there was a greater mission for our group. We moved the entire engineering team from DRL from New York City all the way to Huntsville, Alabama. There's about 100 of us working with the company. Yeah. And, you know, we went from having like a really fun, amazing job traveling the world, being on TV, to something, you know, at a higher level. And it's awesome to be in the position as a civilian and deploy solutions to help protect our warfighters.
And it goes beyond protecting the warfighters, right? I mean, it's changed the face of mutually assured destruction. It's changed the face of the way that we interact in combat that supposedly saves lives. And I believe it does. But what are some of the nuances that we may not know as civilians of the capacity and the value of drones when it comes to military interactions? Because, you know, I know the obvious is, hey, you know, if there's a fire or there's an emergency or, you know, the search and rescue side, all types of things like that. But there has to be some subtleties of drones that have great value that maybe civilians aren't aware of.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be that a lot is changing for doctrine and for infantry and maneuver forces. In World War One, you know, you basically had mortars and artillery and direct fire, which is kind of like a straight trajectories and parabolic trajectories. In World War II, you have greater army and maneuver forces. So you have tanks and, you know, a bit of an evolution from what World War One, and it's pretty much stayed the same. What small drones do is they open up 3D, you know, trajectories of small arms and direct fire. So you have, you know, full 3D access, you know, to the battlefield, which is very unique. You know, a lot's changing really quickly. You're watching, you know, armor being reduced because of small FPV kamikaze drones. You're looking at, you know, a lot of different strategies and tactics evolve and change quickly. Electronic warfare is pretty prevalent. You know, you can't get GPS anywhere from Norway to the Baltics to the Middle East. It's just gone. And signal jamming and you know, a lot of tactical jamming is also big. A lot's changing quickly in what we see in the front lines of Ukraine. It's our job to make sure that American warfighters stay ahead and have better equipment and can evolve with these tactics, you know, alongside what we see on the front lines.
Well, we certainly appreciate it. I talk about freedom a lot, the ability to grow up with absolutely nothing in a country where I can now afford to do whatever I want, when I want, with who I want, for as long as I want, including doing this for over 24 years, coming on 25 years to keep on learning. I get an MBA in a day, and I really appreciate the amount of school that I paid for, but this show for me is one of the most valuable things, and what people like you are teaching us and also providing us as far as value goes and the value of freedom can never be underestimated. And Ryan, we appreciate you. You are a hero. Keep on hiring those veterans. Keep on providing us freedom. And also, I check out the drone racing stuff on ESPN. Keep on doing that as well. It's super fun. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Got it. All right. Check out pdw.ai. It's easy. Those three-letter domains. Just go ahead and find it. pdw.ai. All right. Leah Notariani. Something like that. I'm still practicing. I had a whole practice session with Leah's husband. I was like, I'm so embarrassed that you guys are literally, why can't she just change her name to your name?
So right? It's just what I told Tim.
O'Neill is so easy.
It's super easy.
But we're blessed to have our anchor woman here today with us. And she is someone who understands the mind and how the brain interacts with the mind. So I know it's right up our alley, Leah. Karen Ross is in the house with us. Karen Ross Now, KarenRossNow.com. Karen Ross, welcome to our office hours training.
Good morning. It's my honor to be here. And you're right. Leah and I are both talking about the mind and how powerful it is. And that's certainly my goal, is helping people understand they've got that mind. It's there. And we just have to learn how to use it.
And I think part of the utilization of the mind, Karen, which is most interesting for me, is a paradigm shift. A lot of people understand how mindset and performance are interrelated. I've been in the sports industry for 35 years, and believe it or not, it's been around as a focal point for athletes, especially, and executives. But there is a paradigm shift of how do we utilize our subconscious mind and the power of the mind in order to facilitate, to figure out what we're doing to interfere with the greater mind. I call it the my cloud. People call it the Akashic records. Other people call it the unconscious competency, whatever you want to call it. I believe that a lot of the performance is inhibited more than created. And we can utilize our mindset to clear that interference or shorten the distance of the resistance that we create with our mind. How have you seen that evolution from athletes understanding performance isn't necessarily just getting to where they want to be? It's actually clearing away what they're doing to get in their way.
Yeah. Absolutely. And one of the first steps is something we just very simple. We call thought stopping. And that's acknowledging, hearing that negative voice, which is our conscious voice. And with hypnosis, we access the subconscious voice and really make the changes there. But we've got to stop. We've got to quiet that conscious mind, kind of get it out of the way for a little bit. And it's usually happy to take a rest because it keeps pretty busy and it's pretty loud. We all know that. I'm particularly aware of it right now with the Olympics coming up. And I looked back at where hypnosis has been used with Olympians in the past, and they credit it to making Olympic teams, getting a gold medal. I mean, it really runs the gamut. And I've got a whole list here that I don't think we have time to go into, but suffice to say, it works. And these peak performing athletes, and David, you mentioned executives, absolutely the same thing. They're all peak performers. And we just help them get to the next level or to come back from an injury, a loss, a huge disappointment, a trauma. Hypnosis can play a phenomenal role in speeding up that recovery.
That's incredible. You know, when I look at a lot of mindset work, healing work, trauma healing, all of the different pieces, you know, it's sometimes it's that we need to insert some new beliefs within ourselves, and sometimes we need to actually remove old beliefs. How do you find the biggest differentiation between, you know, hypnotherapy from somebody who has maybe done all of the things but hasn't tapped quite into that? And how do you see that playing just a different role in, you know, how they're moving through life, how they're moving through their sport career, how they're moving through their executive career? How would you say that that would shorten the gap? Because over 80% of our decisions are made in the subconscious mind or from the subconscious mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. We first have to discover those beliefs that were formed kind of in error. And typically a person is not consciously aware of that. I'm going to give you a real short example. It's not sports related or executive related, but I had a gentleman come to me in his 60s and he had never been able to swallow pills. Now that sounds like a really kind of trivial issue, but the older we get, the more vitamins we want to take, maybe we're having to take more medications. This was a big issue for him. And actually, he was kind of embarrassed by it because he had tried all his life. We found a belief he formed as a toddler. And he said, well, I don't need to believe that anymore. And it wasn't a negative belief. It may be negative. It could be positive. In his case, it was positive. But nevertheless, it kept him from swallowing pills. And it's wonderful when the person themselves get that realization. I'm there to guide them. But he found that belief really quickly. He said, well, I don't need to believe that anymore. And within 3 days, he was swallowing all of his vitamins, his pills, everything. And I happened to run into somebody on the street who knows him well just recently. And she commented, she said, it's still working. And of course, that's the intent. I mean, we don't want it to stop working, but that's how simple it can be. And different hypnotherapists have different approaches. I guide a person to what they need to know. I don't take them down a pre-planned route or path, if you will, because I trust their subconscious mind to know exactly what they need to recall, what they need to remember, and what needs to be changed.
And looking at being at ease is one of the other clarifying things as I've gotten older. I just separate things by, does this put me at ease or what's putting me at dis-ease? And as I study history, because I believe history is the best indicator of human nature because human nature never changes. One of the ways that I found you, Karen, was I looked at who was utilizing these types of techniques in history. And it was amazing who I found. Listen to this list, Leah. It's people like Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus. So there's three of my favorites. Then there's Oprah Winfrey, Winston Churchill, and my favorite of all time, Albert Einstein. And the idea of being calmer allows us to be healthier. And it's a lot of times misunderstood thing that people don't understand ease and dis-ease. Can you explain how what you do and the techniques that you utilize help to put us at ease and heal us, actually?
Well, I do guide the person in a very real state of relaxation. And that sounds like an oversimplification, but it's critical. And I will say that after a session, to the last person I've ever worked with, they all say, I don't remember ever being that relaxed before. So while that's not the ultimate goal, it's one of the more wonderful side effects. And that's a starting point. And when we do that and create that ease that you're referring to, again, it just allows the subconscious mind to access information to us and then accept new information. And it's just sitting there waiting for the opportunity to do that and just waiting for us to call on it. I do want to say, when you mentioned Michael Jordan, a lot of information about coach of the Chicago Bulls, Phil Jackson. Now, I don't know if that's how Michael Jordan got into hypnosis, but Phil Jackson was huge in bringing it to the entire team. Well, look at their reputation. Look at what they accomplished. So,
yeah. Well, Phil Jackson was the inspiration for my brand, the Ferocious Buddha. No one has more world championships and is more Buddhist in winning than Phil Jackson in changing, whether it was Dennis Rodman saving his life or Steve Kerr, who coached the Golden State Warriors, or, of course, Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, who faced his own personal issues. But the golden era of the Chicago Bulls, and I know you're from Chicago, so well aware of the golden age of the Bulls. The Ferocious Buddha, Phil Jackson, absolutely utilized that as well. Leah, do you want to take us home with a last comment or question?
Yeah, you know, Karen, I really love what you're sharing. And a lot of people that are growing their business or listening to this show, you know, really use the power of visualization. I just see such a speed to be able to do that from such a subconscious level and quicken the time and tighten it up and actually remove the pieces that are in their way to really elevate their frequency, their consciousness, and their more everyday awareness. My question for you to bring it home would be, what would you say to somebody that's really on the fence of doing that type of work, that they've maybe done different trauma healing, they've maybe done a lot of visualization and mindset work, but haven't really dove into the subconscious? What do you see as some of the biggest fears holding people back from that?
Well, I think they usually are listening or have created some misconceptions about hypnosis.
Yeah.
I always ask that question if I'm speaking to a group or an individual, what do you know about hypnosis? And more often than not, they say, only what I've seen in movies and on TV. Well, that's a terrible representation of what hypnosis is. And so the first thing I do is dispel that myth that it is probably one, if not the most creative, fast-acting resolutions to so many issues. And there have been studies where it's been compared to other therapies, and it just comes out on top all the time. You mentioned speed. That's one thing that people really like about it, is they don't have to sit in a therapist chair for years. There's a place for that.
Yeah, of course.
It's not what I do, and it's not what a lot of people need or want for what they're trying to change.
Brilliant. If you want to change your life in a very efficient, effective, and statistically successful way that many of the greats have changed their life, from Einstein to Michael Jordan, you don't get a greater spectrum than that unless you add Oprah Winfrey. Note that a lot of those people are Chicago people. Karen Ross now, she's also from Chicago. KarenRossNow.com. Help her reach your potential. It's a performance mindset expertise that all of us should at least be aware of, if not participate in. KarenRossNow.com. Karen Ross, please promise us you'll come back to other shows of ours as well.
Oh, I'd love to. And I'm so happy to meet Leah. Thank you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Thank you.
We'll connect you too as well. You're peas in a pod, so perfect.
Great. I look forward to it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Karen. All right, everyone. Well, we are a little past halftime, and Lee and I are having a great time so far. Before we get to the questions for Lee and I want to ask Leah what your takeaway from our extraordinary guests were today.
I think all of them were incredible. One of the things that really stood out for me was really Ryan shifting and pivoting what he's currently creating in order to really be of service and follow that higher alignment within himself. I think sometimes when we start new projects and new pieces, that there's, you know, taking action is a form of clarity. Like clarity comes through action. And when you're really taking action on pieces and new spaces emerge for you to be of higher service and of greater service, and to really follow that and actually lean into that beyond the vision that you have, but the vision that is also in service of others, and how those two energetic frequencies align, is a really powerful thing. And you could really see his passion behind it. So really my takeaway from that is your highest good is always going to be in highest good of service of others. And those two can coexist at the same time, that you don't have to sacrifice your desires for the desires to also serve others.
I love it. And for me, a different type of takeaway.
Yeah.
A lot of people are in the weeds, and you know, I study time. Time is absolutely a love language of mine. Mm-hmm. And time for me is like a mountain, or now like a drone. It provides me a 3D perspective. Yeah. Of what's going on, and where a lot of people react to fear and utilize their emotions to maintain their existence in the weeds, whether it's a drone or a mountain, and years of analogies are utilized to give us perspective. Time itself is a mountain for me. The longer it passes, the higher my awareness is elevated and allows me to see the interaction and significance of what is actually occurring. And I saw within the context of all three of our guests that what they're doing is allowing people to have a better perspective on when they're in the weeds, whether you're in the weeds writing a book, or God forbid at war, or in some sort of military action, or at our peak performance, you know, executives and athletes, we force ourselves into the weeds each day. And to elevate ourselves, elevate our awareness, is like being able to climb a mountain in the old days, so you can see exactly, oh, this is where we're at. this is where we want to go. And you can't do that without that distance. Time is absolutely relative to that distance. But these people are providing other tools, methodologies, and mechanisms to go ahead and give us that height, that awareness of where we are today and where we want to be or better. And I really appreciated all of their time, especially some of them earlier in the morning, not quite as early as you and I here on the West Coast. It's not that early for me, but for the rest of the world, it usually is. And everybody complains about it. I just have more time to appreciate things. That's the way I look at it. So let's go ahead and hand it off to the Nick of Guam, the well-oiled machine at 23, who's in Michigan, taking time out of celebrating his mom and her nuptials and a family activity, which I certainly appreciate. We have so much going on, Nick. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to test you. Go ahead and reset the room. And I want you to try to convey to people what we have going on so they can join us. It's all invitations, not obligations. And then I will supplement if you forget anything. Does that sound fair?
That sounds fair. And for everybody here in the room and, of course, joining us online, let's do a quick reset. This is, of course, David Meltzer's Power Hour and Free Friday Training. We just had an incredible office hours where I know everybody is absorbing all those lessons, knowledge, and insights from our incredible guests, let alone the takeaways from our captains themselves, of course, David and Leah Notarianni. So I want to thank you both for help guiding and steering the ship. But with that said, we are now transitioning to the Q&A portion. So if you are joining online, make sure to put your questions in the chat. And if you're live here on Clubhouse, as you continue to share the room with anybody you know would benefit from this conversation, if you have a question for David and Leah today, please use the hand icon in the lower right-hand corner of your screen to request to join the stage, and we will, of course, aim to bring you up. Now, when it comes to this beautiful schedule, because we are blessed with abundance, more than enough of everything for everyone, what I want to hone in on is what David said at the very beginning. These are invitations, not obligations. All that we want to do is bring people closer to our community so we can provide the quantitative value that we do, pertaining to, of course, incredible content, post-production value, that content, over-the-top business development. And when you put those two things together, it gives us all an over-the-top experience to enjoy. Now, starting off with this upcoming Monday, July 29th, we have the filming of season 6 of David's Apple TV show, 2 Minute Drill. I know she is going to be joining us not only as a judge and a showcase, so she is going to shine very, very bright. But not only will we be doing the filming with incredible guests like Clinton Sparks, Forbes Riley, John Assaroff, Marie Diamond, Wayne Lamb from Wahoo's Tacos, and so many more, but they're also going to be joining us for a VIP dinner on Monday the 29th in Orange County. So if you would like to join us, of course, you know, reach out to David directly, david@dmeltzer.com. And of course, get the text reminders by texting 949-398-2905. Now, of course, we will continue the filming on Tuesday, July 30th. But the dinner, again, is Monday, the 29th. Then next Thursday, August 1st. We are going to be in Viva Las Vegas, not only for some filming at the Venetian Palazzo, filming David's top podcast there, of course, celebrating the community meetup and, of course, VIP dinner. So Thursday, August 1st in Las Vegas, we will be having a VIP dinner with the lights out man himself, Mr. Sean Merriman. We have incredible Sean Dill and Lacey Book joining us, let alone many, many more who will all be stopping by. So, of course, if you would like to join us, you know the rules, david@dmeltzer.com, and get the text community 949-298-2905. And then, of course, the following week, Thursday, August 8th, David will be in Houston, Texas for the Aspire Business Tour with Damon John and Kevin O'Leary and Lance Armstrong, Tim Story, Dan Fleischman, and the list goes on and on and on. We will be hosting the official VIP dinner of the Aspire Business Tour the night before all the action takes place. So that will be Wednesday, August 7th. And then, of course, David will be speaking and hosting an Ask Me Anything on Thursday, August 8th. And I know, David, you are doing a silver ticket giveaway. So if anybody would like to join and, of course, get a ticket from David to come and join us, all you have to do, whether it's for the ticket, whether it's for any questions you have, whether it's for our VIP dinners, his guides and exercises, or even his book, which he's more than happy to send a copy, sign a copy, and, of course, pay for shipping. It is just david@dmeltzer.com, and make sure to get those reminders on where David's going to be. I know me and him need it more than anybody.
Yeah.
But the reminders there are, of course, the text community with 949-298-2905.
All right. So, Nick, hold on.
Yes, sir.
All right. To your point, we need it more than everyone. Let me just fill in to show you how much we have going on. So, first of all, James Maslow and Michael Chandler will be there as well at the filming of season 6 of 2 Minute Drill. You completely forgot another filming of a show with James and Michael Chandler. GoFundMe will be filming season 1, the pilot, on Wednesday as well. And then Thursday at Palazzo, we're celebrating the launch of the Poker Room with our event center and new podcast studio as well with the Palazzo. And then, unbelievably enough, Friday will be the launch of season 6 of Office Hours, the TV show, with the biggest guests in the world, the billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, and entertainers. So on Reach TV at the airports and hotel rooms, you always see us, but on Apple TV, it'll be streaming and all platforms that we have, of course, it will be seen. But season 6 of Office Hours is premiering. Episode number 1 of season 6 will be on Apple TV on next Friday as well. And so we're certainly, you know, excited about that. This is the biggest problem I'm having, Nick, in my own business, is that we have so much going on that we can't even remember the significant things, and I'm sure we're missing the insignificant things. So please get the alert system, and I'm going to make sure that Nick is signed up for it as well, so we don't forget and he doesn't show up to something with everything going on. I certainly use it for myself because it takes about 3 people. Just so everyone knows, when I get off of this, I'm sure my team will be like, David, you forgot the Infinite Growth Conference or VCon or whatever else we forgot on top of what we're doing. So thank you so much, Nick. All right, let's get to what everybody really wants here in the fourth quarter. Let's get to a question or two.
Absolutely, everybody. Put those fours up in the air. We are in the fourth quarter, and I'm going to pass it over for Chef Ron. So, Chef Ron, feel free to unmute yourself and ask David and Leah your question.
Good morning. Good morning. Nick, you're doing such a great job. And, Coach, thank you for those inspiring words this morning with the text about my video. You can't imagine that little motivation that you gave me, so thank you.
You're welcome.
So I did have a question, but after you brought the gentleman on about the drones and the veterans, as you know, Coach, I employ some veterans with my Chefs for Seniors, and they volunteer with me with groceries for Grandparents Fund. But I have a brother that was in the military for 30 years, retired, and now he's actually a civilian in charge of the Navy drone program. And when you talked about structure, one of his major battles was when we lost his wife, my sister-in-law, to ovarian cancer. And the way he handled it with structure, and now this was before my daughter was actually born sick. And I watched him handle this, and he said to me, it's like a mission, because I have I have 2 kids and a sick wife, and he did everything he could, you know, to save her. So now my daughter's born, right? And I just want to give up, you know, because of her illness. And he teaches me, look, the structure in the military, that, and he goes, you have to save her. So you hit that right on the head about the structure that the military, I just get upset about this because you hit a nerve with me, Coach. And these veterans are forgotten about. They have such knowledge that can make our country better. And just the ones that I utilize with Chefs for Seniors, you just hit a good nerve, Coach. Yeah. We have to do more for these people and respect them and utilize them the best we can to make our country better.
Yeah, no, thank you for reiterating that. And I just want to bring up a couple things that I learned. Did you know, Leah, that each day more veterans kill themselves than a mass murder?
Right.
Every single day there's a mass murder of mental health because our most treasured asset, our veterans, are taking their own lives because they're not getting the support that they need.
Right.
And the expansion of the skills, knowledge, and desire is lost.
Yeah.
I think Ron articulated so eloquently that the skills, the knowledge, and the desire of our vets is an untapped resource, but worse, we're losing that resource. And so I want to encourage everyone that has a business or has an organization or has an association or any relativity to that freedom that's provided to extend out opportunity and support for our veterans. And thank you. Any comments on that, Leah, before we take the next question?
I just want to say thank you, Chef Ron, for your share. And, you know, it's really powerful awareness for us to just remember. And the other piece that I want to share with you is stay strong. And we're sending love to you and your family and your daughter. And, you know, I know it's hard, but we're sending you love and strength.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. We got it. And I love the prayers. I love you, Coach. Thank you so much.
You got it, my friend. All right, Nick of Guam. We got about 7 minutes rocking and rolling here, almost to 7 a.m. Pacific time. Who is up next and what can we help with?
Absolutely. I'm going to pass it over to your two favorite letters in the alphabet, of course, GG. So, GG, it's great to see you. Happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask David and Leah your question.
Hello, happy Friday. I'll go back to the AI. You always talk about essence, and it was very interesting to hear. I'm using this to help me, and I'm not using to actually create. How can we utilize technology and also pour our essence into it so it's going to be a part of us, basically, even if we utilize technology?
Leah, why don't you take this first?
Yeah. So for me, the way that I utilize AI and technology is that I use it as a different lens and a different piece that I can really extract data and then use my conscious mind, subconscious mind, whatever you want to call that energy, and really channel the frequency that I want to create with it. So I think AI for me personally in my creation is sometimes it's nice to get a frame and to get some new ideas floating. But I think that's just where it starts for me. I think it actually allows more creativity and more fun because you can co-create and throw some ideas at something that can just pop it up in a minute that you can really tap into your essence, your frequency, your awareness, and your understanding. And it can allow you to expand that in a different way. So for me, I think when you start to look at it as a tool to get more creative versus to be creative, it allows you to tap more and deeper into your essence and your spiritual wisdom that you can actually channel through, you know, your writing, your speaking, or any body of work that you really want to create.
I love that. And the only thing I have to add, because we've talked about this, is it's okay to do a frequency check. So if you're utilizing AI or technology to create things or to transcribe or translate things or to do research or synthesize data, you know, remember when we read something or we review something or we remember or recollect or remind with something that there's an energetic check that we can do. So if it's not aligned with your essence, if it's not resonating with you, you notice that Chef Ron said like four times that really resonated with me because it's at the same frequency. We can go ahead and double check it. It doesn't mean that you have to stray away from any of these capabilities of AI or any other technology. I'm just suggesting that you do an energy check, a frequency check, an awareness check to make sure it's still resonating with you. Because if it is, then it was the equilibrium of you actually creating it. I can have other people create things that really resonate with me and then I just repeat it. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've said, you know, change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Right. And people are like, dude, I love that. I'm like, well, talk to Wayne Dyer, talk to the Xanders, because that's where I read it. And Wayne Dyer made it popular for me. But the Xanders were the first people that I know that talked about changing the way you look at things. So the things you look at change. Yeah. But I do a check on what resonates with me, capture that, modify it, amplify it, perpetuated into my life. We are at 6:56. That means we have time for probably one more special guest. Nick of Guam, who should we bring up?
Absolutely. To round us out with this incredible training and power hour today, I'm going to pass it over to the one and only Max the Million, Max Grauer. Max, it's great to see you. Happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask away.
Happy Friday, Nick. Happy Friday, David. my question has to do with, you talk a lot about if you want God to laugh at you, you have a well-developed plan. You feel that everything in life is going your way, that you're successful, and God just throws a wrench into your plans. Can you give me some advice on what quotes or what tips I should use to unexpected plan?
Yeah, let me just tell you that I put on an extraordinary event, which I normally don't do, with Dane Cook, Rob Riggle, Leah Bucky, Nick Lowry, Maria Diamond. The list went on and on. I'm missing people. It was the Marshall Faulk, incredible people. And I had to have an extremely well-developed plan because I was taking an overnight flight to go speak at Madison Square Garden and do the Aspire VIP dinner. And then maybe even stop by WealthCon in Las Vegas. And there's two things that I took from it. One, God just, he threw the whole toolbox at me, not just a wrench. We had one of my dear friends have emergency brain surgery. My mom is hospitalized right now. And then there's a variety of other, of course, other tools, pliers and screwdrivers and nails just thrown at me from a variety of places and a variety of reasons. And here I am on the other side of it on Friday, a week away. And I realize a few things. Guess what? I'm still here.
Yeah. And
I'm here. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I'm wealthy. And I'm worthy. And I'm stronger. You know, and not everything happened like I wanted it to happen. Less people showed up, not just because we sold less tickets than we wanted to sell, but there was the Microsoft Ticketmaster issue and then airplane issues. And I said to someone yesterday who gave me huge kudos on the event at YouTube Theater, I said, here's what I love about it. Either one, it really was what you're saying and you loved it and there was nothing like it, or you love me so much that you're lying to me to make me feel good. And either way, I feel super good about it. I do, I feel, and in the past, every single person that would compliment me, no matter, even if I thought it went well, I was looking for like, well, do they really mean it? Did they really like, or, and then I just decided either two great things are happening here. Either they really are loving it, or they love me so much, they're lying to me. Either way, how lucky am I? And so although God threw the toolbox at me the last week, and he certainly did, I only have light, love, and lessons. And I'm a better person. I've been promoted. I've been protected. And I've been loved. Even though it didn't turn out as I planned, Leah.
Yeah.
We have this last minute. Any comments as well, please?
Yeah, I think it's so beautiful what you shared. And, you know, at the beginning of your question, we were just laughing because we get it. And, you know, the moment that you're like, yeah, I'm in this work, I'm ready to grow, I'm ready to serve, I'm doing all the things. And then God will just either throw a tool at you or the toolbox. And I think it's, for me, I think really powerful leadership is how you show up in those moments. I think when you look at people that you admire, it's like, you know, if you want to take somebody's wins, are you able to take their failures and their setbacks as well? And that lesson for me was just a really powerful insight that I took years ago, that, you know, the people that you admire, the people that you look up to, the person that you want to become, like, not only will you have to take that success and be able to maintain it and hold that frequency, but can you also move through the challenges, the lessons, the light, the love in order to get to that space and be there and be present? And I think in those moments, it really shines through people's character. So I want to say, David, like going through the week that you did, it's been so inspiring to watch you show up every single day, committed to your community, committed to the things that you're doing and showing up and serving in the world. And if you're listening to this, come to the dinners, like be in the room, be in the frequency, be in the vibration of this community, because it's incredible, virtually, in person, online. And, you know, if you're going through something hard, know that, you know, one of the things that David shared with me at the YouTube Theater is, you know, if you can look up, you can get up. And, you know, the times that you don't want to the most is the times that you need to and you get to. So just have that be a remembrance of, you know, life is going to happen and it's, no one is, you know, not privy to experiencing those things. So just trust that there's a better thing on the other side for us all to learn.
We are protected, promoted, and loved. And I am by my friend, Leah Notariani. Thank you so much. I'll keep practicing unless you change your name. I know as soon as I nail her last name, she's going to change it to like, O'Neill.
Just kidding.
Please follow her at leahnotariani.com or at Leah Notariani. She's at also legacyandleverage.com. Leah, thank you for blessing me as a friend and a fan and a favor and faith. You're my favorite Fs. I love you. I adore you. You are welcome anytime in anything I'm doing. And please share my love with your family, especially my lucky Bucky, who's in Hawaii or on his way. So thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me, David.
You're awesome. All right, everyone. We appreciate you. Nick of Wam, we are late on Clubhouse. So close that out real quickly. Hand it off as well. And I'll close out the rest of the platforms. Does that sound fair?
Sounds more than fair. And thank you, David.
Thank you, everyone. We got a little bit more time on my platforms because we are blessed to have such an amazing community. I want to thank everyone on every platform. Please email me if you need anything, books, guides, exercises, VIP dinners, meetups, holding courts, speeches, TV shows, podcast. It doesn't matter. David at dmeltzer.com. I can't believe, but I can, that we need a text message to alert our own team on everything going on. We are super excited about the launch of Office Hours Season 6, about the filming of 2-Minute Drill Season 6, about all of our VIP dinners in Orange County, Las Vegas, Houston, just to name a few. Pomona is LA, and we encourage you check out VCon and then swing by the Infinite Growth Conference the next day and see Tim's story and I and many more. There's just an extraordinary amount of people going, an extraordinary amount of places, too many to keep up. If we can't keep up, how can I expect you, right? If my own team can't keep up with all we have going on that they're producing, how can I expect you? So do me a favor, join our community, 949-298-2905. I am excited to see Gigi in person. She's taking a flight in a few hours all across around the world to come and see us and be a part of our community in person. So we are blessed to see her as well. Remember, most importantly, everyone, we're a community of people that are here to help one another and know people that can help one another. So please be more interested than interesting. Please ask for help and be kind to your future self and do good deeds. We've been here for almost 25 Fridays, and I'll be back next Friday as well. And in the interim, check out anything that virtually or in person we have going on. Have a blessed weekend. Peace.